Hi, I'm Natalie Calzadilla, and this is the Pachanga and Possibility Podcast. I created this podcast to empower you with knowledge about all forms of alternative healing, personal development, and mysticism. I want you to celebrate your wins and create a life of possibility. You, my friend, are a light worker, a way shower, and you will inspire others to do the same. So grab your cafecito and a notebook. Let's get started. Welcome, Melissa, to the show. I am so excited for this episode. We have been trying to schedule this for months and months, and we trusted in divine timing. And yeah, it even became a joke between us. We would just be like, hey, this weekend, nope, sorry, something came up. And we were both really good sports about it, and just we're really honoring the divine timing of when this was supposed to come together. So Alyssa, please tell us and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Natalie. I'm super excited to be here. And yeah, it just seemed like now was the time that we were supposed to have this conversation. So I am here for it. So my name is Alyssa Boyer. I am a mentor for highly sensitive people. I am really passionate about helping deep feeling sensitive souls really feel connected to their true nature, to learn how to feel comfortable being sensitive and proud of being sensitive. A lot of times, highly sensitive people, we grow up feeling like there's something wrong with us. We feel different than everyone else. A lot of times we feel like life is harder for us, which sometimes it can feel harder. But I'm passionate about sharing ways for highly sensitive people to cope with their sensitivity, learn how to manage it, and then you can really use it as a superpower in your life. So that is my work and my passion and really my purpose.
I love it. And we're going to dive deep into this because I want to dissect all of being an HSP, because I personally am also an HSP. And I'm trying to remember when I figured that out, probably a couple years ago or so in my process, when you get into spirituality and you hear the term empath. And then I feel like further down the line, then you hear about HSP, and I took the quiz and listened to the audiobook. And then I was like, oh my God, like this is me. This is why I've struggled so much. And especially in the workplace. And I know we'll dive into that also later, but it made me feel like I wasn't broken. I was like, oh my God, there's an explanation for why I feel so deeply, why things affect me so deeply. And there's nothing wrong with me. 20% of the population is HSP. And there's also a clear difference between anxiety, HSP, and empath. And those are all really hard to navigate if you're not educated about how it plays out in your life. And then I entered the world of an empath as a mom. And I feel like that, I'm not an empath, an HSP as a mom. And that really put like the HSP part of my life in the spotlight of how to navigate being a human again as a mom. And I think it'd be amazing to have an episode one day for just like HSP parents, because that's like its own animal. And we're not going to really dive into that one today. But yeah, this is why this topic really just means so much to me. And I want to give our listeners as much education and juiciness and tools to be able to figure this out, and resources. So tell us your story about how did you figure this out? When did you learn about like what is an HSP and what was happening in your life at that point?
Yeah. So it's interesting you say like the workplace and how that is challenging for a lot of HSPs, because that's where I discovered it for myself. So just like bringing it from the beginning, like of course, growing up, I always knew I was a very sensitive person. That was like one of the like describing words I always heard. You're so sensitive. Wasn't always said in the nicest way. It just, you know, sometimes it was kind of like the reason that I was quote unquote difficult and difficult to manage and, you know, seen as dramatic sometimes. I just always had such big emotions and mood swings, and like everything was just very extreme for me. The highs were high, the lows were low. And so, yeah, I always knew I was very sensitive. I remember like being a kid and getting so excited for family vacations that I would give myself a stomach ache and I wouldn't sleep the whole night because I was just so excited. And so it was like, you know, there's like some endearing parts about it. Like I just loved things a lot. But on the flip side, I just, yeah, my mom told me I cried every day till I was 13. Like there was always something I was upset about. And I can read my old diaries now and it's just like, oh my gosh. So always very deep feeling. And then, you know, as I got older, I tried to suppress it as much as I could. I was really good in social settings. Like no one would really know like that I was super sensitive. I was really easygoing. But when I got home, you know, I was a little bit more just my true self. So anyway, when I was 22, I moved from Minnesota to California. I got a really cool job opportunity out here and it was for a corporate retail company. And so I started this job and it was a very intense environment. It was lots of like people would work crazy long hours. There was a lot of competition. There was a lot of yelling and toxicity and it was really, really intense. And I'm a person who's like very high achieving. Like if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it my best. And I really wanted to climb the ladder. Because the job was a $10 an hour internship to begin with. So I was like, I want to live in California. I need to make more than $10 an hour. So I was driven. And what I saw around me, what the people that rose to the top were the ones who had a thick skin, who weren't upset about someone talking rudely to them. They just seemed to handle it. It rolled off their back. And I tried to be like that. And I tried to act like I didn't care, but I would like be so like sick to my stomach inside and just be so upset. And so it was around this time working at that job, I started getting really bad digestive issues to the point where I was getting sick at work. I couldn't eat like a ton of foods. Like the amount of foods I could eat was like the list was growing smaller. I was getting really sick. And I went to several doctors. No one could help me. I finally found a doctor who told me I had SIBO, which is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and I had leaky gut. I then started working with a holistic doctor, and he was able to pinpoint that a lot of this was really brought on by stress and like a lot of emotional stress and things that I was just like carrying with me. And this is, so I think I was like 23, I don't know, 24. My mom introduced me to the book, The Highly Sensitive Person, around this time. I don't know. I still don't know how she heard about it. She's just like, this sounds like you. You should read it. So I read it in like a weekend. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is literally me. It explained everything. It made sense why that environment was like made me sick because I'm just very sensitive. It was impacting me. And so that's kind of how I got led to learning about being an HSP. And, you know, from there, then I got really into learning how to manage my sensitivity and really reducing my stress, because that's what I had to do in order to fix my digestive issues. So I got into like meditation, I started being more mindful about what I ate, I actually worked out, things like that. So yeah, that's where the journey really started for me.
And you were doing those things while you still had that intense job, or did you leave?
So I started doing those things while I had the intense job, but it came to a point where it took me so much work every day just to feel okay. Like it took so much energy to like build this like armor around myself that I just was like exhausted. Like my boss would come by and I would get like a visceral reaction because he just like made me so stressed. So I eventually did leave that job. There was just like one day in that I can remember specifically where they were telling us there was like certain days that we couldn't take off, and it was around the holidays and my family was going to be in town, and I was like, screw this. So I actually quit without a backup plan. I ended up getting something much better literally in like 4 weeks, but yeah, I had to leave for my mental health and physical health.
So what started working for you? Like how did these things like the meditation, the diet, the exercise, and finally you left this intense job, how did you continue to like navigate life as an HSP? Did you seek out an HSP like expert or more books? Like what was the next part of the journey?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say that I dove right into the HSP stuff super heavily. Like I just knowing that was like great knowledge for me, and it made me understand and accept myself. The first way I went really, really was more into like spirituality, because I had started getting really into meditation. And, you know, at first the meditation was simply just a way to calm myself, nothing more. And then as I got more into it, I started having experiences where I felt like I was connected to something greater than me. And that's where it really started to become something deeper for me. And so from there, then I started reading spiritual books, and it just like changed the way I experienced life. And so that was like huge. Like that was such a huge unlock for me. And then in terms of food, I just learned, like, I'm somebody, I love food. I love to just enjoy a meal. I don't like to have huge restrictions, but I have learned that limiting the amount of refined sugar that I eat, things like that, like help me stay more calm. So I feel better. So I made adjustments like that. And like, you know, not eating so much gluten, because that upsets my stomach. Like I made shifts to my diet. And of course, like to heal the gut issues I had, they were pretty extreme. I had to be extremely restricted for about 7 months. But then going forward, I just was like more mindful. So
did you, yeah. I gotta ask, coffee or no coffee?
I'm a coffee girl, but I did go a year without coffee, and mm-hmm. I drank matcha tea every mm-hmm. single day, but I started introducing, I'm bulletproof coffee. I love mm-hmm. it. And just one cup, like, I honestly feel fine from it. So nice, that's personal. Nice. I know it's like, caffeine does affect HSPs. I can't really do more than one cup.
Yeah, I'm the same way. One cup I can handle, and sometimes maybe a second, but that's like on a special, like I need the extra energy because something intense is I need the energy. But so can we give the listeners as like the formal definition of a highly sensitive person?
Yeah. So a highly sensitive person, high sensitivity is a trait. It's not a disorder. It's not a condition. It's not something you need to be like diagnosed with. It's a trait. I think a good way to make it, like explain it, would be like somebody is an extrovert or an introvert. Like there's different ways that your brain works and processes. So that's how it is to be highly sensitive. And a highly sensitive person, we experience the world on a deeper level. We literally are processing more information. It's like we're not filtering out so much the way like a non-HSP would. We're taking in a lot. We are noticing the little details that other people don't see. Our brains make these connections because of the way that we process so much information. A lot of people will think of high sensitivity and think of just someone who is like emotional and gets like reacts to things strongly. And it's not just that at all. It's like it can even be things like your tag is itchy and it's driving you crazy. Another thing with HSPs is we have a greater capacity for empathy. We have more active mirror neurons in our brain, which is responsible for increased empathy. So there's a lot of like research and like brain tests they've done where they'll literally show like a photo to an HSP versus a non-HSP, like a photo that will evoke some sort of emotion. And they found that the HSP will still have those like active mirror neurons even after like a while after the photo has been taken away. We just process deeply. We think deeply. We feel deeply.
I was really surprised that it was not like an emotional thing, but your brain just kind of like doing just more work, like the deep processing, that it was a mind thing. It's just like you're taking in, your brain just absorbs way more information and is like sifting through all of the data and making all these connections. And it's not that you're like sitting there like, oh my God, I'm so sensitive to everything. It wasn't that at all. It's just like, no, my brain's like on overdrive. And totally. I had to, and I just did this before the recording, because as I was taking a shower, I'm thinking, you know, I know the traits of HSP, but there's some overlap with anxiety symptoms. So how do I know what the difference is between I have anxiety and I'm HSP? And I quickly did research because I also suffer from anxiety, and I wanted to know like, wait, which is which? And the difference is that the rumination and like the overthinking, if it's anxiety, it's fueled by fear. And if there's no fear involved, it's just kind of you're over processing like an HSP. And I really needed to know that. And that was really interesting. And I also wanted to mention that HSP is not just like a female thing. Men also have HSP. And I think it's pretty much even, right? It's not that even more women.
It's 50-50. And like, I have such a soft spot for HSP men. And this is actually something I'm like kind of becoming passionate about, because because I have a decent amount of HSP men reach out to me on Instagram and they're like, I don't know anyone else who's a sensitive man. And, you know, with society and how we're conditioned, like, you know, we know as women that it's hard to be an HSP. So I imagine like for a man. And so, yeah, that's something where I'm like, oh, I just want there to be like, I, you know, I have some men in my membership, but mm-hmm. I know that it's also probably very helpful for men to also be in community together and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a random, but that's something I'm seeing a lot that I'm like, wow. So yeah, exactly. It's 50%. Yeah.
They need to be addressed and given a place to come together and to talk about these things and not be judged. And I can imagine how much harder it is for men with the societal like pressures. It's that must totally. Be really intense for them. So what are the difference between an empath and an HSP?
Yeah, so a lot of people use these interchangeably, and I found that most HSPs are going to be empaths. Not always. It's not always the case, but the way that I've kind of described the differences is like an empath is really sensitive to other people's energies and moods and emotions. Like it's like the people, they walk into a room and they can just like sense, oh, there's someone in here who's having a bad day. You can just feel it. You, when you're speaking with someone, you can kind of notice if something's a little bit off, or they want you to ask them a question, or they're feeling, you know, you can just tell. So an empath is going to be that type of person, a deep capacity for empathy to the point where it feels like it's happening to you sometimes. If you don't really have those, I mean, it's that's how we're naturally going to react. We want to have energetic boundaries to like not just absorb everyone else's stuff. But that's, yeah, so that's how it is as an empath. And so, you know, as I described with HSPs, like we have the deep empathy. So that's why a lot of times we will be empaths as well. But with HSPs, it's really also the sensory, like, stimulation and things like that. Like being an HSP, one of the main things we will deal with is getting overstimulated because we're processing everything so deeply. So like a busy schedule or like a weird noise when you're trying to sleep, like that personally drives me crazy.
Yeah,
me too. Yeah, it's like those are the HSP things. So it's going to be like more of the other kinds of input that will affect you. Whereas an empath, it's really like emotional and energetic to other people and animals and nature. Honestly, I feel like it's like you're just deeply connected to everything around you.
Thank you for describing the two. Cause I heard, yeah, most HSPs are empaths, but not all empaths are HSPs.
Yeah. And I would say too, that there's a sliding scale of empathy, you know, like mm-hmm. I think,
yeah,
we all, for the most part, we all have a capacity for empathy unless you're a narcissist and you literally don't. But like there's going to be the people, yeah, who are like extremely empathetic, very in tune. And there's going to be others who, you know, they have a capacity, but it's not like, you know, they can disconnect from it. They're not feeling other people's emotions the way a really empathic person is.
As an HSP, you just mentioned like the sensory overload, like the overstimulation, and I really want to spend a little bit more time here because that is like the result of the overprocessing. And if you don't have like these self-care things in place to prevent that normal state of overprocessing to completely like consume you, and then you're in the state of overstimulation and overwhelm, and you want, the goal is to try to avoid like living in that space, you know, how we were once upon a time. So what are the signs of being overstimulated, and then how can we navigate that?
Yeah. So some of the signs you're overstimulated, for me, a lot of times it's going to show up as just getting frustrated and having like a short temper, like things that normally don't bother you might suddenly just be like, I can't handle this. And you're just like very just like reactionary. You might feel resentful. You might feel like, you know, the people around you are just like always needing something. And it just is making you feel, yeah, a lot of resent, like I don't have time for this. A lot of times you might feel the desire to numb out because it just feels like too much. So you might want to try to eat too much or drink or go, you know, too much shopping, things like that, just to like numb it out because it's just too much. Another thing is like a desire to retreat. You just are like, I gotta get away from this. And your mind and your body is telling you like, I am overwhelmed. I need to get back to myself. Yeah. So those would be some of them. Also like feelings of anxiety. Like you might feel like your heart is racing, your stomach is upset. You're just having these physical reactions to just being overstimulated. And some ways, I mean, there's a few things. So I would say first and foremost, it's important to have a daily practice in your life to set yourself up for success. Because as an HSP, we're going to be prone to overwhelm. But if we have practices in our lives every day to support ourselves, I kind of picture it as like making deposits into a bank account. Like you're setting yourself up to be able to handle the overstimulating events that may happen in your day. So having like meditating every single day, whatever that looks like for you. I know that's not for everyone, but maybe it's a 5 or 10 minute meditation, taking time to journal and just like getting your thoughts out of your mind, moving your body, even if it's a walk or yoga, doing things like that are ways that you can kind of like make those deposits into that bank account, like kind of put on your armor for the day so you can, you'll be able to respond rather than react to those overstimulating events. Of course, it's going to happen though. There's going to be times where you're just like, it's too much and you're totally overwhelmed. And in those moments, there's things like just connecting back to your breath and really just like grounding into your body. I think it always helps for us to just get grounded back into ourselves. And that can be as simple as just noticing what the chair feels like beneath you, noticing your feet on the ground, just paying attention to your breath. Things like that can really, really be helpful because sometimes we can't escape a situation and we have to kind of find ways to self-soothe and regulate our emotions in the moment.
Those are great tips. And for me, it was before I became a mom, I had time to really nurture and like put all these deposits, right? I'm like, oh, I'm gonna exercise and meditate and the journey. Like, I loved doing all of those things for just no reason. And then I had the baby and now nothing's in my control. And things like, oh, I'm gonna meditate every day are non-existent. And I replaced them. Now I've learned to replace them with like, okay, I can't sit and really meditate, but I can just step outside for 5 to 15 minutes. And just stepping outside in my backyard and being outdoors in nature and just kind of looking around and taking a few deep breaths and maybe even going and like leaning against a tree and just trying to focus and ground my energy are huge. And I can do that even with my baby in my arms, which was like really helpful because if not, I can't journal. I can't do any of these things. So it's like, all right, I'm reaching overwhelm. It's time to go outside. Mom needs to journal. I mean, to relax. And the other thing was having a partner that's understanding of what it means to be HSP. And my partner had to get like the quick version when I became a mom because it just became really heightened and the sense of overwhelm is just so intense. And so he knows now that I have to navigate life as an HSP. And so when I tell him, look, I woke up without bandwidth, that means I need you more I'm going to say on point because that sounds intense, but just more like keeping an eye on like helping me out because I'm already not starting with a full tank. Or after something stressful, he knows that I need time alone to like replenish. So he'll allow, you know, we'll make space for me to be able to take a nap and just say like, hey, I'm on E with bandwidth. I need to nap before I don't nap and end up having a meltdown later, you know, and he's totally on board with helping me navigate my energy because if not, forget it. So it's that constant, like now it's a very much top of mind every day and knowing when I have a full tank and when I don't and making sure I put in those deposits. Even things like now I'm using flower essences and Rescue Remedy is wonderful for those super intense moments of like overwhelm. And so I take a few drops every 5 minutes and until it passes. And that was really supportive to me too. But if I can tell a little quick story, this was, I think, last weekend. And now he's like well educated on being on what it means to be an HSP. And we were making breakfast and I stopped and I'm like, I have so much anxiety right now. I'm like, why? It's like Sunday. There's nothing going on. The schedule's empty. Why am I having all this anxiety at like 11:30 in the morning? And he's like, I think you're overstimulated because I'm cooking, you're like cutting vegetables, my stepdaughter's like asking for stuff, then I'm like looking at the baby monitor to make sure she's still sleeping, and then I had music playing, and then the oven extractor was on. So it was just a lot of sensory overload. And he's the one that pointed it out to me. He's like, I think you're having like an HSP moment. It's too much going on with all the sounds and smells and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, you're right. It totally is. I'm like, I need to kind of step away and turn off the music and take a few deep breaths and just calm myself, because it was definitely one of those moments.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah, I definitely can relate to, yeah, what you're saying, when it's just like all of a sudden too much and you reach a point and you're like, okay, no more. But sometimes like you don't realize that it's happening when you're in it. Like you're just like, oh my gosh, I feel so anxious. So that's amazing that your partner is like educated in it and is able to point that out to you and just like honor that for you, because it's so real. It can just be so overwhelming. And I have such a thing with that fan in the kitchen too, the oven fan or whatever, that yeah. thing drives me crazy. And my husband will like
yes.
be making dinner and he'll have that on and he'll have his music like way too loud. And I'm like, I can't be in here. Like, please turn this down. Like, so I totally hear you. And I think, yeah, getting your partner on board and just sharing about it is huge, because like, yeah, my partner is not an HSP, but he's had to kind of learn like, okay, this is what it's like to be with somebody who is sensitive. And, you know, just helps to have that support.
A funny moment or funny story with my partner. I was like, we were watching Netflix. We sat down to watch Netflix. Like, let's watch something nice, you know? And then he's like, okay. And then I literally was saying like, let's watch something normal and pleasant. And he's like, okay. And then he puts like this murder documentary.
Oh my gosh. Like, your definition of nice and pleasant.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, seriously? Out of all the things, it's like this horrible like documentary, because it's real, about this like horrible person. I'm like, you're definitely not an HSP. Like, the fact that this didn't even cross your mind. So it's a joke. It's definitely a joke. I read something on your website about, are you a thermometer or the thermostat? And I thought that was really cool. Do you mind kind of sharing a little bit about that?
Yeah, I heard that term on a podcast one time, like, I don't know, a while back. So basically, a thermometer is a person that sets the temperature of the room. Like, they walk in the room and they're in a good mood and they're deciding that they're going to be in a good mood. It doesn't really matter what other people have going on. They're just like, this is me, and very grounded in themselves. Versus, I said a thermostat, right? Because that's what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. Thermostat. Okay, so they're setting.
Yeah, a thermostat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. A thermometer is going to be the person who is picking up the energy in the room, and they're adjusting how they feel based on other people. So it's like, you know, that person, they'll walk in and be like, oh, the energy is just so heavy in here. People are like in such a bad mood. And so it makes them be in a bad mood. And a lot of times I would say, you know, we view being an empath as like being a thermometer and just like picking up everyone else's energy and moods without really even paying attention to it. You know, it's just like natural. And I think that's like pretty disempowering, to just be at the whim of how everyone else feels. I think it's important for us to kind of strive to be more like a thermostat and be more grounded in our own energy and decide how we're going to, you know, how are we going to choose to feel when we go into a situation? Of course, like, yes, it might affect us if somebody is in a bad mood or being negative, but we don't have to absorb that. We can choose to like kind of let them be who they are, and you get to be who you are, and just like be more grounded in yourself.
I think that's one of the benefits and goals of doing all of the self-care work, is that you get to really understand the nature of who you are as an HSP and learn how to use it as a superpower, but then also really be grounded in yourself enough and so self-aware that you're no longer like the victim of walking into a super intense space, you know, energetically, and you become more empowered and you know how to like use your own energy when it's time to be empathic and really tune in and use your intuition. And when it's time to really show up with your energy very grounded and very strong and bright and just really being that thermostat. And so that's where I feel all of this, the tools that you teach and help your clients with, help do that. Because there's nothing, I've had clients and friends, you know, say, I get so affected by all these, you know, these people's energy in this room and this and this. And it's like, you have to give yourself these tools and learn how to use them and make it a habit, because it's not going to do you any good if you're a victim of everyone's energy because you're an empath. Like, that's when it could be debilitating, and that's no fun. But you also can't be a victim of it and just be like, oh my God, I'm an empath, I can't, I'm like, and be all tragic about it. Like, no, you have to really learn how to manage it so it serves you and not, you know, so it and doesn't hurt you.
Yeah, you're speaking to my soul there. I feel so passionate about that as well, because I'm like, oh, I don't want, like, I'm not a victim. Like, I can handle things. Like, and that's, so that's like what I really love teaching people, is like stepping into an empowered space. And like an example that happened to me last weekend, like my husband and I went out to dinner, and the restaurant, like, it was incredibly loud in there. There's like pots clanging and there's people all around talking and there's like a lot going on. And, you know, my first reaction was like, this is too much. And I even said that to my husband. I'm like, it is so loud in here. He's like, oh, I love this. It reminds me, I just love the energy. Like, he's an extrovert and he's not an HSP, and he like loved it. And, you know, in that moment, I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to use my tools to be here because this is where we're sitting. He loves it. You know what? I'm going to like practice what I preach. And so I did like a grounding thing where I just like paid attention to how I felt sitting there and tuned into my breath. And I'm not kidding you, I was able to just like kind of start to tune it out and just be really connected to him. And we ended, like, by the end of our meal, I wasn't thinking about everything around me. Of course, like when I got home, I was like pretty tired. But I think it's just like, we're not going to be able to change the world around us. And there's going to be instances where that's where you're at. So having those tools really, really help.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about being seen as dramatic, because I know that I've struggled with that. I don't feel like the word dramatic, but sometimes it can also be used like being seen as intense. And I remember when I realized, it took me a while, when I finally, it was like 2015 or something around when I got the memo that I was intense. It took me a very long time to figure that out. And I felt bad, because I was like ashamed, and I had this association like being intense is bad. And I didn't even have the word of HSP like available to me, that term. I just knew that I was like, I just feel things deeply and I get excited about a lot of things. Like, some people struggle with having no interests and no hobbies, and they don't know what they like, and that's just how they are. That doesn't work in my brain. Like, I love everything and I want to explore everything and dive deep into all these different hobbies and trends and this and that. And I feel like deeply, but you can get judged harshly as being dramatic or intense. Like, how did you transition from being seen as dramatic to turning it into like a superpower and really owning that space?
Yeah, I mean, I love what you were saying about, you know what, you just love things, you get really excited. That's kind of like the key there, is starting to look at like the strengths and like why that's a really, you know, what the benefits of being quote unquote dramatic are. My mom is like a saint, and we have she's not an HSP, but she's like super supportive of me. And like when I first learned I was an HSP, I was having a hard time one time, and I think I was overthinking or whatever. And she was like, you just have a beautiful, passionate mind. And like, I always thought about that after that as like a reframe. It's like, it's not dramatic. I'm just feeling things deeply. I get really excited and really passionate about things. And we can start to channel that into positive things. Like, that's when I started, you know, getting really into writing and expressing myself creatively. And my, you know, being somebody who is more intense and gets really obsessed with things, like, that served me well, because I became incredibly consistent in the work that I do, which has helped me a lot. And I know it can be hard, because we're not always going to have those accepting people around us where they're like, oh, it's okay that you're, you know, so passionate or so intense. Like, you know, there's going to be instances where you have people that are kind of like rolling their eyes at you. And so the thing is, we can't look to other people for that validation. Like, there's going to be some people who are never going to understand it. So it's up to us to kind of do that internal work, to be proud of it ourselves. Because when we feel good about who we are, then it doesn't really matter what other people think. And I know that's easier said than done, but it just comes from a more confident, like, empowered place. You're like, this is who I am. And paying attention to the strengths that come with it.
So, have you seen the movie with Alanis Morissette?
I have.
I'm sure you have. Yeah. Probably more than once, right?
Yep. Yep.
So I just wanted to mention it because like people can go right now and put on Netflix, and I believe it's on there in the documentaries called Sensitive, and she did it with the author of the, like the person who, the pioneer who did she discover HSP? Like she's the one that's been doing the research since the 80s.
Exactly. Yeah. She like coined the term, like even though it's mm-hmm. been around forever, but like, yeah, she's like Dr. Elaine Aaron. Yeah.
Yes, Elaine Aaron. She coined the term, and her and Alanis made this documentary because Alanis Morissette is also HSP. And I think, you know, now that I'm saying this, I think that's how I was introduced to the topic. I think I just stumbled upon it on the documentary because it was Alanis, and I was like, ooh, what is this? And it looked like it was about spirituality or personal development. I'm like, this looks entertaining. And then I think that's where I discovered the HSP term. But yeah, if you want to listen, like definitely go watch the documentary and you'll really get a nice sneak peek onto what it means, and you'll hear from Elaine herself about the research and what it means to be HSP. So when did you decide to become a mentor? How did you make it an official thing and make that decision? Like what aligned in the universe for you to be like, this is what I'm gonna do?
Yeah, it's crazy. It happened incredibly organically. Basically, 2.5 years ago, I was working at my full-time job, and it was like a little bit of a slower period. And I had been deep into spirituality and just like feeling like such a shift in my life. And I was keeping this Google Doc of just, I called it moments of inspiration or something like that. And I would just like write every day, just like little synchronicities I was noticing, cool things that were happening. And I've always loved to write. As a kid, I wrote little books. I've always just been like super creative, but I lost that side of me through college. I didn't think it was going to serve me to like be a writer or do anything like that. So I really like abandoned that part of me for a long time, which was just crazy. And so anyway, I got really into writing these little Google Docs, and I was like, oh my gosh, I just want to share this, but like Facebook isn't the place to share this. So I got the idea to start a blog, and the blog was not started for like HSPs. It was about inspiration and like personal development, and it was like a broad range. But the very first blog post I wrote was called Sensitivity is a Strength. And I just like told my story and like my life experience. And I was like sharing and sharing and sharing, just like 2 posts a week, like just really consistent with it. And I started to notice that anything to do with sensitivity and empathy and deep feeling, people really resonated with those posts. And I loved talking about it. So it really over time, it just kind of evolved to where that was like only what I was talking about. And I started really dissecting it and talking to more people and understanding their experiences. And I just was like, this is the thing. This is what I'm here to share about. And so then in September of 2020, I started a membership community for highly sensitive people. And that was really just because I felt strongly about creating a community for HSPs. There's a lot of them out there, but my issue that I had with a lot of them is there was a lot of that victimhood. It was very much like, the world is too much and I can't handle it. And it was always like, I felt drained in those situations. Mm-hmm. I was like, I just want to be around more uplifting. And so that's what I really wanted my community to be. And of course, like, we talk about the reason, you know, the things we struggle with, but we don't stay there. It's more about getting to an empowered place. So yeah, that's really how it evolved. And now, you know, I'm working a little bit one-on-one with people, and that's been a really cool experience just to like dive deeper and work with people. So yeah, it's been an interesting but really cool journey.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you created that space, because it's definitely something that's needed. Something that popped into my mind that I wanted to say earlier, when you were growing up, you said that, you know, you were crying every day till you were 13, and you were just like known as really, like it played out where you just turned out to be like really sensitive and people could see it. And then you said, I'm sure, I think when you became a teen, you started like learning how to hide it. And I wanted to share that the same thing happened for me, but into adulthood, I shut down. So I became very much in my 20s and into beginning of my 30s before I had, I guess, my awakening and got into all of the spirituality, was because I was so sensitive, I became a huge bitch. Like that. There is just no other way. I was just like very stoic, and I wouldn't even hug people. if people would hug me, I'd be like the worst hugger. Like I'd hug people like a cold fish, because not only was I HSP, but I was an empath. And so I would physically like also take on whatever you're going through and feel like your stuff. And so I was just, and I'm gonna be kind to myself, I wasn't totally a bitch, but I was definitely standoffish. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't a warm, bubbly person. I was not approachable. I was just very definitely in my masculine energy, very focused on partying. It was the other like self-destructive behavior that came along with it, and just not really being busy with codependent relationships, which did not help because you're in all of the sensitivity. And so when those things don't work out, that's like not fun. And it was really self-destructive. I didn't know that the reason why I was so cold was because I was the complete opposite, because I was so, so sensitive, but it was too much for me. So I had to shut down, and I only had guy friends, because with girls, you like feel stuff and it's all emotions. And in my healing journey and working through childhood stuff and going to therapy and realizing that being an HSP and an empath is a superpower, and then becoming an intuitive, now it completely changed my life, and life is more rich now. And even though we still feel profusely and get overstimulated on a regular basis, it's still definitely a superpower now. But I just wanted to say that story because it can also manifest that way, where you're so sensitive and you might have somebody you're like, oh, they're definitely not that, but they actually might be, and it's just too much for them to deal, and they don't have, and nobody sent them an HSP episode.
That's such a good example. And like, I've been hearing that from a lot of the people I've talked to, that that's how it kind of manifested for them. And something I've learned about recently is like overregulating versus underregulating. And a lot of people will like overregulate their emotions, and which will look like being stoic, shutting off, disconnecting, not feeling anything, because it's just too much to feel anything, and like not wanting to like authentically connect on a deep level with other humans because what it might unlock. So yeah, exactly. It's like sensitive people might overregulate and they're going to be like, feel nothing. And then on the other hand, there's like the underregulating where you're just like crying at the drop of a hat. You're, you know, reacting all of the time. And so it's like, you want to get to that middle ground where you're regulating in a healthy way. But yeah, that's really interesting, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yes, I overregulated definitely. And then I would underregulate at home. I'd be the one like crying with like the drop of of anything, and like a Geico commercial, anything. I was just like, it was completely different at home. But so how has life been as a spiritual entrepreneur? Just curiosity, because it's its own thing. And I know there's a lot of listeners who are also on a spiritual path and might have day jobs that are not resonating, or maybe they're in a job that's, you know, they've discovered they are HSP, it's not working out, they're into the healing arts, and you've made that transition into now being a spiritual entrepreneur. How has that journey been for you? Because it's not something that everybody talks about.
Yeah, it's been amazing, and it's been hard. And so I'm still working full time. I'm still doing this on the side. So that's a whole thing within itself, learning to manage my time and energy and not feel totally drained and overwhelmed. And that's a work in progress. To be honest with you, I have a tendency to push myself. So from that, it's been like the biggest self-work I've done so far in my life. I'm sure when I become a mom, that will be even bigger and different. So for now, this is where I'm at. But yeah, so basically, it's shown me a lot of the areas where I have room to grow. And it's kind of right in your face. Like, for instance, you know, when I first started sharing my work online, your heart is in it. You care so much. And when some of my things would get 5 views and like 2 likes, I was like really sad, and I would get so attached. But I kept going and I kept sharing, and I had to keep coming back to myself. And the reason why I was so passionate about sharing, it wasn't, you know, that my purpose was to inspire people and help them feel seen. So I had to return to that rather than getting caught up in the need for external validation. And over time, you know, it came because I was consistent and I was true to my message and what I cared about. So that was a process. I spent a lot of times feeling like kind of just like embarrassed, to be honest with you, because I was like, why am I doing all of this? Does anyone care? And, you know, a lot of times people will want to quit in those moments because it just feels hopeless and you're like going up this big hill and you're like, oh, okay, maybe this was not a good idea. But when you keep going and you kind of just like, you just keep pushing through and you keep, because you know there's something in your heart, then it always is worth it. You get these little wins along the way where it's like, oh my gosh, like, okay, I'm so proud of myself. And so it's a, you know, it's helped me build a lot of self-confidence and just like, you know, helped me see my own resilience. And also I think a huge thing for me has been learning how to trust myself. When I first started out, I was like looking to everyone for advice. I was like thinking I needed to set up my schedule a certain way. I need to do what all the experts say. And that just doesn't work for me. Like, I'm not a person who like time blocks. I'm not a person who batches my content. I do everything intuitively. And it's like, that's just how I work. I just get inspired and I share. And I questioned myself for a long time thinking like, that's so, you know, like, what are you doing? You're never going to be successful. But like, I have to trust myself and it works for me. And so that's been a huge learning because I just love the idea of being able to create your own path. And that's like the beauty of being an entrepreneur. And a spiritual one at that, like just letting your intuition lead you and trusting your unique way of doing things.
Thank you so much for sharing that. There was like a lot of gold nuggets in that. And it's amazing because I do want to point out that you've already created a pretty substantial Instagram. You have around like 13,000. And I would never believe you had a day job because you're so consistent with your content. And then my jaw also fell open when you told me you're not batching content and that you do this like when you feel inspired and you feel like it's a moment to do it. And I'm just like, wow, that's impressive. And I love because it is the opposite of what a lot of the experts say. And you batch your content and this and that, and you know, do your content in 30 days, you know, the whole month in one sitting and pre-recording stuff. And you have super branded material. It's super clear in your branding, your style, your look, like your IG is super on point. You're always on my feed constantly with your reels and your informational like carousel slides on your posts that are always teaching us about all these different signs and ways to navigate as an HSP. And even for me, where I sometimes think I'm still like in my carving my path as a spiritual entrepreneur and which way if I want to lean, if I want to lean more into the business coaching or into the spiritual coaching. And then I have my seasons. And one of those self-doubt moments where I was like, should I focus on HSPs? And then I'm like, but how many? Like, how am I going to reach these people and find these people? Like, you feel like you have to. And then I looked at your Instagram, like, she has 13,000 people who really want to know about being an HSP. And I'm like, there's really an audience for everyone about everything. It's just about sticking to it and being consistent and just getting over that hump until you have enough wins where you're like, okay, I'm doing the right thing. So I just wanted to congratulate you on that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been, well, reels are crazy. And like that has been a lot of the growth, to be honest with you. But yeah, so a few things I'll say there too. Two is like, one, I'm a big fan of like not making things hard. So like I create a ton of content. One, because I'm like, I just find it really, really fun. Like to me, it's like, that's my creative outlet. So it's like very, it's just like joyful to me. But two, I don't make it hard for myself. I repurpose a lot of stuff. Like since I've been creating stuff for 2.5 years, I can go to an old blog post, extract some things that I had written back then. And there's like, 3 posts. And a lot of times, yeah, I think we just like make it harder for ourselves. We're like, oh, I have to reinvent the wheel. I gotta like do something brand new. And it's like, no, sometimes people need to hear the same message in like 4 different ways for it to finally land. And like, that's not like being lazy. That's just like people need to hear things in a certain way. And then the other thing too is like, yeah, there's such an audience for HSPs and like, and for, you know, anything that you're interested in. It's like nothing, like everything is out there. You know, it's not like, I'm not the first person, of course, to talk about HSPs, but like there's always somebody who needs the information and only the way you can present it. It's like, I wanted to talk about being an HS, or I wanted to have a community for HSPs, and there's a ton of them out there, but they didn't resonate for me. So I created created one. So I think that's always like helpful to remember, because a lot of people I talk to will be like, oh, well, it's already been done. It's already out there. And it's like, yeah, but you haven't done it and you have right. like your own flavor. So I think that's always important too.
Definitely. Definitely. And you have your own flavor. It's very clear. And I love that because it makes you memorable. Like, because you're so branded, it's like, oh, I know your color palette. I can pick it out.
Thank you.
Out of yeah. thin air. Like, I know exactly the font, like everything. Yeah. Very, so yes. it is, yeah. So it's a great example of like very clear branding, even down to the clothes and down to like everything, every detail. And I'm sure that's like the artist designer in you also that gets to shine through.
And you know what's interesting too? I'll share something. I had someone, because I use a lot of bright colors and all of mm-hmm. that. It's like oranges and pinks, like, you know. And I had somebody comment on one of my posts and they're like, it's weird that you're trying to reach HSPs because this post is so overstimulating to look at. And my first reaction was to like get upset. I'm like, who do you think you are? And then, you know, I thought about it. I'm like, one of the things that has helped me the most as an HSP is to express myself creatively. And this is how I express myself creatively. And like, if you want to see an HSP account that is like calming colors and more blues and greens and monotone, there's a ton of them out there. So I just had to like kind of have that moment, because, you know, people will always have opinions about you. And that's the other thing of putting yourself yeah. out there. And so it's just like being grounded in who you are. Like, this is my expression. Like, and that's what makes people either like it or dislike it.
Right, right. I feel I can totally see where she's coming from, because it is bright. But I feel like that's the resemblance of your soul. You know what I mean? Like, that's your soul shining through, like that part that's like the super joyous, like loving energy that you have inside, and not like, oh, I need all this calm colors and energy because I'm HSP and it's very much aligned with your soul. But I can see how someone who's sensitive would be like, oh, this is intense.
Totally.
But it's yeah. still pretty. It's so, but yeah, it's all good. So yeah, don't listen to the haters, y'all. It's okay.
Be yourself.
You gotta be secure in yourself and be yourself, definitely. And do you have anything else that you want to share? Do you want to talk about more about your membership or the bundle that you're offering? Anything?
Yeah. So the HSP membership, depending on time of this recording or when this goes live, it may or may not be open. I open it a few times a year. So if it's not open at the moment, no worries. You can always join the wait list for that. And so what the HSP membership is, just to like kind of give an overview, it's a community for HSPs and empaths. And basically each month we focus on a different topic that affects sensitive people. So we've focused on boundaries, people pleasing, sensitivity as a superpower, grounding, like these have all been different things. And then with each topic of the month, you get a meditation, a spiritual practice video of some sort. I love EFT tapping, so I share that a lot. It also comes with a podcast and like workbook. And then we do a guest expert session as well, and a monthly meetup. So because it's really important to me that other HSPs get to know each other and have that support. So we meet up once a month on Zoom just to like share where we're at and things like that. So that's really grown into such a beautiful community. And that's like, if you're an HSP, that's your personal development go-to place, I would say. And then, yeah, I have this bundle of resources for setting boundaries. I open that for sale every once in a while as well. And then also just offering one-on-one HSP mentorship on a small scale as timing allows and everything like that. So lots of stuff there. But if you just want to like dip your toe in, my Instagram is the place to go for sure. All the details are there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I just want to say thank you. This has been so informative, and I hope that we can reach many, many HSPs with this episode, because I just want to reach out. And now that I'm better, I can hug people. So I just want to go out and hug all the HSP and be like, you're going to be okay. And there's people like Alyssa who are going to hold space for you and tell you that you're normal and teach you how to manage your energy and boundaries and all these different things, and that you can thrive and be super empowered as an HSP. So thanks for everything. Thanks again.
Thank you, Natalie. This was such a great conversation. So excited.
All right, folks, that's a wrap. Thanks for listening. As you know, this content is free, but it isn't free to produce. To support the podcast, you can purchase a Pachanga and Possibility t-shirt at
cutiecrewbrand.com. A portion of the proceeds go towards finding a cure for type 1 diabetes. If you love this episode, share it with a friend. Use the share feature to text it over to them right now. Also, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. And last but not least, it'd be extra cool if you can rate the show and leave a written review wherever you listen. Thanks again for being here. I know how valuable your time is.